From Wall Street to your street, and Washington, too. Listen to podcasts from the Wall Street Journal and get the world delivered to your ears. Look for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and the Google Play Music app. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.
Most mobile game apps are free, so how is the mobile video game industry able to make billions of dollars? The details coming up.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello and welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's tech news briefing from the newsroom in New York. I'm Tanya Bustos. And the Pokemon Go craze continues to rage on. One thing it's managed to do is highlight the changing mobile entertainment landscape. Now, this game is free. However, it has already managed to gross millions upon millions in revenue. And it has a lot to do with the art of the in-app purchase. Let's get more from Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah E. Needleman, who joins us on the line right now. Hey, Sarah.
Hi.
So let's talk stats first. When we say billions, in terms of mobile game apps, how much revenue are they expected to take in this year?
Mobile games are expected to make about $36.87 billion this year.
That's quite a bit. So the idea is you download all of these apps for free, use them for free. So they already have you, but they sweeten the pot with these little incentives to buy stuff and perks. What are some things that gamers actually pay for?
Well, a lot of times what you're buying is virtual currency, which you can then go ahead and spend on items inside a game. And they really range the gamut. It could be items to speed up the time it takes to advance in a game. It could be something decorative, like a special weapon and a certain color or a character in a certain costume. It could be, in the case of Pokemon Go, you could buy Pokeballs or you could buy quote-unquote incense, which help make Pokemon appear. So it really ranges, and sometimes they're just 99 cents. Sometimes you can buy in bulk for $100, or actually it's $99.99. You might get a large quantity of virtual gems that you could go ahead and spend on the kinds of things I just mentioned.
It seems like most people, it's almost like an addiction, like they need that fix, and more often than not they'll just hand over a dollar or what have you. Is there a certain mindset, a need for instant gratification that's really prominent among most gamers?
You can definitely trace some of the tactics that the games use to psychological, incentives that prompt people to pay. And I'm not sure if I would go as far as calling it an addiction, but there are some people who are more easily encouraged to spend in reaction to the tactics that these games use. Mm-hmm. And for example, one of the most common ones is a countdown clock, where you're basically waiting for the game to replenish fuel or crops or whatever it is in the game that you need to progress. So if it's a war game, you might need the game may make you wait a certain amount of time before you can train your troops to participate in a battle. So if players are impatient, they won't want to wait that time, or if they have to grind out a game, you know, play a number of levels to reach a certain point, and they rather just ride to that point quickly, they may pay to sort of just skip what they might consider the boring part. So there's also incentives that where you feel like you're going to miss out if you don't pay. So there might be a one-time event happening, and you feel like you got to be a part of that event, and so you got to get in on that day, and you want to win because it's only one time, so you might spend a little money to mm-hmm. give yourself an edge to get a better weapon or a better character, whatever the case may be. It may also be simple as the game's putting in advanced technology for chatting. So if you're chatting, if you're playing against someone who speaks a different language, the game might change how, translate the language so you can communicate with someone. And the more you communicate with someone, the more time you spend in the game. The more time you spend in the game, the more likely you are to spend money.
Wow. Yeah, no, that all makes sense. But is this most gamers? Are there people who opt out of these perks? Are there any stats on that?
Well, actually, most gamers don't pay anything.
Okay.
Only a very small percentage of people, something in the 2 to 3% range is what the analysts estimate, actually pay any money at all. So it is quite amazing that these companies are able to make so much money, especially when they're charging, in some cases, as little as 99 cents. That being said, the people who do spend tend to be frequent spenders, and some of them are very, very big spenders. And they're often referred to as whales, just like in the casino business. They may plunk down a couple hundred dollars a week, thousands of dollars a week even. So we're talking about some really dedicated players, and for the most, but we're also talking about the top tier games too. But remember, there are probably millions of games available for smartphones today, and so it's a big world. A lot of people have smartphones and iPads and other kind of tablets out there, and so when you add it all up, it comes to a fairly large amount of money.
Gotcha. And just to touch base on what you said about these top tier games, and obviously Pokemon Go is in that realm right now. I know that they don't really reveal numbers, but are there any ballpark figures as to how much this game has made so far?
Yes, there are some analysts that estimate it's made so far to date about $120 million.
And they've only been around for, I guess, not even a month? Early July, I believe, right?
July 6th is when it came out in the U.S., wow. New Zealand, and Australia. It shot to the top of the charts the next day and has stayed there pretty much since then.
Yeah.
It's about a week later rolled out in Europe and then later in Japan. And so it's just been growing like a snowball effect ever since then. Wherever it rolls out, there's like a new rush of people picking it up. And so it may die down in the months to come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But it is definitely the hottest game of the summer.
Yeah, still a lot more money to be made, I'm sure. Sarah E. Needleman, thank you as always for joining the podcast.
My pleasure.
We've been speaking to Sarah E. Needleman. She covers all things video games for the Wall Street Journal. That'll do it for this edition of Tech News Briefing. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
Love this show? Check out others by visiting wsj.com/podcasts. See our full selection under programs.